Good morning, good morning. What a sunny, sunny day outside. And this is Lady Peaches. What's up? What is up? What is up? Yeah, this Peaches. So, hi guys. We're just enjoying our coronavirus quarantine in the house. They've opened up some parts of the state, and they're still opening up things. They're saying that it's still not safe for us to go outside. So I just advise everybody to just stay clean, keep your mask on, and wash your hands and clean your house. Also, today we're talking about domestic violence. When is it not your business, and then when is it your business? You know, because you can get in and interfere in someone's fight, and they'll be like, mind your business, and then that person will come up dead the next morning. Or you can be in somebody's business, and you can stop someone from going to jail. When is domestic violence not your business? If you're pulling up and someone's beating a mess out their significant other, and is it your business to try to stop it? Is it your business to call 911? Is it your business to just keep going and mind your business? So, would you want to be the reason someone's not safe? Would you want to be the reason someone... What if you could have saved someone that is being abused? I mean, what do you do? How far do you let it go before you interfere with domestic violence? And some interference can be deadly, so you gotta also make sure it's a safe interference. So, again, this is Lady Peaches. What's up? So, and today our thing is domestic violence, because domestic violence can lead to the children, where the anger is so demanding and so strong that the angry person can haul off and hit a child or hurt a child because of that's the mom or the dad's favorite one. And that child is automatically a victim because that's the one that the person they are angry with loves. So, like I said, domestic violence. Do you push on? Do you try to stop and help? What if they have a gun? Do you call 911? What if you have a gun? What if you could save a life? What if you pushed on and the life was taken? How far do you let it go before you get involved with a domestic dispute? I've also noticed, you know, some policemen who are allowing domestic violence to go on. My daughter was involved in a domestic violence dispute. And my thing is, keep going. Don't stop caring. Because once the person overpowers the family, then he doesn't care about the abuse, and it gets stronger and it gets deadly. So you can't let the person overpower the the family. Keep going. Keep getting involved. I don't care if it's you get making a phone call to 911. But my daughter is in a domestic situation. And sometimes I get involved and she tells me mind my business. And sometimes it ain't my business. And I'll get in it anyway. Because why? That's my child. And some men feel like because they have a baby by someone that they own that person. And the mother and the father of the person has to show that man or male or female, the dominant one, that hey, she doesn't belong to you. She's our child. He's our child. Because domestic violence goes both ways. I have also seen men being physically abused as well. But in my daughter's situation, sometimes I run to the rescue and she'll call me, and sometimes we get all worked up. Well, we're going to go get this boy and we're going to beat this boy up and we're going to do this. And then we get there. About time we make it to her, she stopped answering. And we pull up and they hugged up and kissed up. So I take it as he's wearing her welcome out. Or the dominant one wears the welcome out of the person they overpower with their protection. They tries to wear out the welcome with the people that are protecting them. That way, whatever bodily harm they're causing, they want to do more bodily harm, but the protection keeps stopping them. They want to hurt worse than they have already hurt him. But this domestic violence with my daughter, this guy, he's very, very violent. And like every time she gets something, a new car, he'll tear it up. A new house, he'll go bust holes in the wall so the people can put her out. And it's just, he's very destructive and damaging. And his attitude is always, I don't care. Never once gave a care about the life they created. His whole motive during the whole thing is just to destroy anything good she does. Give her low self-esteem. If she fix her hair, they're not even if they're not together, even if she's left him alone, he will come, because she's glamming on Facebook, he will come and snatch her hair out of her head. It's just so much that you don't know when to step out, because glamming and him snatching a ponytail, it's out. It's really petty, but then it's really serious, because that means she can't look cute. She's getting beat for wanting to be cute. My domestic violence situation when I was young was also, it came from my creator. Creator is the Lord. My creation's donor. And I couldn't look cute. I couldn't have friends. I had to speak when spoken to. I had to stay in the room, come out only when asked, feed when asked. And I was mainly a servant in a house, and I paid all the bills. And then how I overcame that domestic situation is, I took the last hit and I got up. I packed my kids' things. My parents lived in a different state. I called my parents. My parents got me to another state, and I never turned back. Never. He called one day and asked me to get him. I think like a year or two later, he realized that I wasn't even in the state. He called me down there and said, hey, come get your things. I got the rest of your things because I left my whole house. Furniture, clothes, all. I just got enough things to get on Greyhound. And because I'm not a plane rider. I'm scared of planes. Anything, planes, boats, I don't do. I only do Greyhound, and now Greyhound halfway ain't safe either. But anyway, so he had abused me so bad that I cried blood for 6 months. My eyes were closed shut for 6 months. And when it comes back to the question, how far do you let it go before anyone gets in? And in my situation, he had his best friend, and you know, in black terms, his brother. It's not really your brother, it's just your bros, like someone you grew up with, and y'all been friends forever. So his mom know your mom know his mom, your bro. So the bro I had called, well, he had started the beating started from actually taking him and his friend somewhere. And during the time, this is the reason that the dominant person decided that it was okay to take matters and put his hands and his matters in my face. So anyway, I get him to his, it started from, we go to him and his homies. I was supposed to drop him off, but he said, wait, don't leave me, before he got out the car. Everybody else that was in the car, all his friends that I was dropping off, had already gotten out the car. So we're happy, lovely, hugged up, woo woo woo. He got out the car, and I guess a dog came out of nowhere and chased him. Everybody cracking up, laughing. I'm laughing. We all laughing. And I got out, you know, I get out the car and say, are you okay? He immediately started pouncing. And I'm driving while he's pouncing on me. And I'm make it home to the destination. He drags me out of the car by my hair and pounce outside to the old neighbors next door. Looked outside, and you know, old folks, they really didn't get in it. They went in the house and shut the door, and they turned the lights on. The old man did. Then about 30 minutes later, he's still outside pouncing on me. They came back outside and said, sir, I'm going to call the police if you don't stop hitting her. So he snatched me by my hair and he dragged me in the house. And he started pouncing on me again, pounce. Then bro wakes up, and bro says, man, don't hit her no more, man, don't hit her no more. He's like, no, F this, ooh, 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 I was everything in the name of Jesus. So he throws me in the bathroom and says, clean yourself up, and I don't want no more blood on my floor. So I goes in the bathroom, and we hear a knock at the door. And the police says, hey, we got a call of a domestic disturbance. Back to the point where, do you jump in or do you don't? Who do you defend and who you won't? The brother comes straight in the bathroom, the bro, comes in the bathroom, puts a pistol to my head, and say, if you so much as nickel and my bro go to jail, I'm gonna kill you. I can't even see the gun. That's how badly I've been beaten. And the blood is not just coming from wounds. I'm crying, and my tears are tears of blood. So, anyway, I get to the point where the police comes knocked on the bathroom door. The gun cocks. He puts the gun and tell me to open my mouth. Puts the gun in my mouth and tell me, if you so much as tell them anything, I will blow your brains out. He takes the gun out of my mouth and he allows me to answer the questions that the cops were asking. Never once did they open the door. Never once asked me to come out to let them see my face or let me see if I was abused. And he basically once the question finished, the bro put his gun back in his hip, hugged me, asked me was I okay, and acted as if it had never happened. And that's why I made my decision to pack up and leave everything and not return. But I'm just saying, how far do you let it go before, I mean, I had to get plastic surgery and get my face back to where it was. The doctor, it took a while for me to heal, about 8 months in healing. But what's good for the goose is good for the gander, because he got away with the abuse because I moved and all that, and then he moved up here stating and claiming that he missed his son. And when he came up here, he wasn't abusive. He never hit me, he never touched me, but he bragged. He bragged to the 1-1. And, you know, like I said, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And then he ended up being beaten to the point where he couldn't see. And he packed up and he moved. And we never, ever, ever spoke to each other again. And we had an innocent child who grew up never knowing his dad. And, you know, it's sad that he passed away that way. My son passed away. And I've gotten word a couple of years ago that the dad passed away too. Or maybe they just disappeared and not in existence. But it's like God wiped that whole story away. And I don't know, like, how far do you let it go? Because I could have been dead. I had no one in there to protect me but my children. And they were terrified because we had never lived like that. My mom was abused when I was a kid by my stepdad. And I heard several other dads, kids' dads too, did the same thing. But how far do you let it go before you step in? Do you save a life to spare yours? Do you believe that God got you enough to interfere and nothing happens to you? And then when you do things like call the police and they take the person around the corner and drop them off and give them access back to you to abuse you again and to come back, is that in fact a situation that needs to be handled, needs to be addressed by our government, our laws? Like, should there be protection for people that step in to stop a domestic violence? They shouldn't be allowed to get away with harming the protection. Like I said, this podcast today is about domestic violence and how far do you let it go before you get in. So if you want to answer any of these questions, you can hit me up on Lady Miss Peaches, Miss Peaches on Instagram, Lady Miss Peaches Chantel Howard on Facebook. Twitter is also Lady Miss Peaches. Just hit me up and say, hey, I'm talking about your podcast. Or you could text me through Messenger. I'm talking about your podcast and I just want to say what I could do. And then I'll address the issue on the next show. And from now until then, love, peace, and hair grease. To the next time, love you to the moon, back, and beyond. This is Lady Peaches. What's up? What's up? I got a very bad, I'm sick. But, what's up? This is Lady Peaches, and you know the deal. What's up? What's up? What is up?